Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be starting a two-part series on false prophets. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." That's Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now, because we have men walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seats of the scornful, we're being blown about by every wind of doctrine in our Baptist churches today. We are not to use the world's methods in running the church of the living God. That is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. We are not to bring the world's dress standards and music into the church. That would be standing in the way of sinners. We are not to fellowship with so-called Christian denominations that hold doctrines that are opposed to sound biblical doctrine. That would be sitting in the seats of the scornful. With things being the way they are today, you're either going to have a limited message or a limited fellowship. If you teach and preach the Word of God literally as it's written, you're going to have people that are going to be opposed to you, and they will not fellowship with you. Now, in Psalm 119, verse 104, it says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." And then in Psalm 119, verses 126 through 128, it says this, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." In today's church, most men and women that should hate every false way have the backbones of jellyfish. They love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. If you're going to do anything that will be pleasing to God, you're going to have to love God more than you love men or the praise of men. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking and receiving the praise of men is a mark of a false prophet. Luke chapter 6, verse 26 says this, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet." Psalm 36:1 says this, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." The reason that we have so many false prophets and false teachers today is that there is no fear of God. There is no fear of God today in America. We want God to bless America, and yet we deny, scorn, and mock every precept that God has given us to live by. We want our sin and our prosperity too. We want a God of love and not a God of judgment. We want a God that we can call on, but not a God that can call on us. We are a country full of hell-bound sinners that are on the broad pathway to destruction. We mock God in our arrogance and self-esteem while murdering his unborn babies. We are a nation of filthy dreamers that parade sodomy before God as if it were some kind of puppet show. These filthy dreamers have not the Spirit of God. What I'm saying is that they are not saved. We are a country that is full of devils and their reprobates. We are deserving of the judgment and condemnation of God. Why are we constantly at war with God? Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 4 says this, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." That's Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 through 4. Now, we are a country full of ungodly religious people and churches that hold to ungodly doctrines that are an abomination before God and an affront to sound biblical doctrine. In America, what should be the church of the living God has been poisoned by religious leaders that are doing what is right in their own eyes. Our churches in America are full of unbelieving professors that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof and have not known the way of truth. Much of the responsibility for the downfall of the church lies in the pulpits of American churches. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children." We're not talking about knowledge that has been gained at the feet of unbelieving seminary professors that are gathered around the tree of knowledge. We're talking about godly knowledge that has been gained from the teaching and leadership of the indwelling of God the Holy Ghost. True wisdom is knowledge that has been enlightened by God the Holy Ghost. Deuteronomy chapters 13 and 18 tell us how to distinguish between a true prophet and a false prophet. Here's what Deuteronomy chapter 13 verses 1 through 3 says. "If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." That's Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22 says this, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. Now, later on, we're going to quote some more of Deuteronomy chapter 18 in relation to some of the false revelations that people claim to receive. We are living in an age when church leaders will not take a stand for sound Bible doctrine. The pulpits in American churches are full of heretics, apostates, and unbelievers. We have churches that are calling and ordaining sodomites to serve in the pulpits of American churches. It seems that the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, and the Church of Christ are the leaders in this movement that includes Episcopalians and, yes, even some Baptists, including American Baptists and Southern Baptists. There is a denomination out there that was organized strictly for sodomites. It is called the Metropolitan Community Church. Leviticus 18:22 says this, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, "If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." The last time I checked, folks, Romans 1, verses 26 through 28, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 1 Timothy 1:10 were still in our Bibles. These passages state the following. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." That's Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 states this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, 1 Timothy 1:10 says this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other that is contrary to sound doctrine." Now, I'm not advocating here, advocating violence here against the sexual perverts that the King James Bible calls sodomites. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ done away with the death penalty for sexual sins in John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, and also in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. I would encourage you to go and look at those passages of scriptures. Churches today have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. The Bible says this about them in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now, how is it that Satan tears down sound Bible-believing churches? Satan does it in the same way men of God are supposed to build those churches up. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 28 and verses 10 through 13. Verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Folks, Satan almost never attacks directly. As in the Garden of Eden, Satan's prime objective was to cast doubt on the Word of God. Satan attacks the doctrines here a little and there a little. He adds a little leaven here and a little leaven there until the whole lump is leaven. Satan is very subtle. Church members who refuse to hear and receive sound doctrine will fall backward and be broken in the snare of Satan's false doctrine. I believe that there is another reason that so many professing Christians are holding to false doctrines. Because most churches have rejected the truth, I believe that God has also sent them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. I've already said that much of the responsibility for the great falling away in America's churches lies at the feet of those in our pulpits. Much of the responsibility for this great falling away lies at the feet of our congregations also. Since pastors, preachers, and evangelists are called and ordained by churches, we as members of those churches are under an obligation to God to make sure that those that occupy our pulpits are preaching and teaching sound doctrine. God builds His church upon sound doctrine through the teaching ministry of God the Holy Ghost and the precious, holy Word of God. We must rest in the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says this, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 say this, verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Now, today, our churches are being murdered by congregations who make enemies of the preachers and teachers who tell them the truth. Galatians 4:16 asks this question, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" And that is a big issue in many places. If you tell them the truth, they're going to be gnashing on you with their teeth. But you had better, if you're a true man of God, you better be preaching and teaching the Word of God without compromise. Today we're living in the most biblically illiterate time in American church history. That is why we are unable to stand fast in the faith. As Paul said in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is why a lot of our independent Baptist churches sound like nurseries. We have many church members that should have matured in the faith that are still babes in Christ because they simply will not read and study their Bibles. They refuse to receive sound doctrine. We must be very careful who we allow in the pulpits of our churches. We must put men in our pulpits who will stand for the truth, men who will preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The religious sharks, wolves, and roared lions have gathered around the living bodies of Bible-believing churches seeking whom they may devour. And believe me, they're having a feeding frenzy. They're literally devouring the life's blood of Bible-believing churches. They say, "We don't want any of that bloody religion. They have gone in the way of Cain." Like Cain, they don't want any of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have murder in their hearts. There is a conspiracy in Satan's heart to replace Bible-believing preachers with false prophets. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 23 through 32. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, starting in verse 23, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed the difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. For their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." That's Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 32. Now, we're living in a time when people just will not hear the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 has its parallel in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And here's what Isaiah 30 verses 9 through 11 says. Verse 9, "That this is a rebellious people, lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets, Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." I have said many times over the years that it is not just the pastors, preachers, and teachers that are responsible for that which is preached and taught in our churches. The people in the pews are just as responsible. There is no reason why those who sit in the pews of our churches should not know as much about the Bible as those preaching to them and teaching them. That includes the women in the church. While a woman cannot pastor a church or teach men, there is no reason that she should not know as much as any man does about the standards or qualifications for pastors and deacons. Perhaps if some of our women knew much more about the standards and qualifications for pastors and deacons, there would be fewer women usurping pastoral and teaching authority over men, which is strictly prohibited by the Bible. 1 Timothy 2 verse 12 says, "Suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." When women teach and preach before men, and men allow it, both are in rebellion against the word of God, and the Holy One of Israel will cease to bless their ministries. That Holy One of Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Amos also had this to say in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In 2026, the year 2026, we have more Bibles in print than we have ever had in America. Yet, there is a famine of famines for hearing the words of the Lord. It's not just that Americans do not read the Bible. Americans outright reject the Bible and mock and scoff at its contents. Jeremiah said this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 10. It says this, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." That's Jeremiah 6:10. Jeremiah 8, verse 9 says this, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" Question. That's what that was a question. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. Now, the consequences of rejecting the word of God is a seared conscience that cannot hearken to the word of God. Notice in Jeremiah 6, verse 10, that it says there that their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. And why? Because they have rejected the word of God. Now, and what that eventually results in is a seared conscience. A seared conscience leads to a reprobate mind that experiences no embarrassment, even at the vilest of evil. You see that in America today in the movement of the sodomites and the transgenders and child molesters and everything that we see happening in America. But that, folks, is where we are at in America. Our conscience has been seared. We are without natural affection. That's a characteristic of a big group of people within America today. The prophet Jeremiah went on to say this in Jeremiah 6, after condemning them for not being capable of receiving the word of God because they had rejected that. In Jeremiah 6, verses 15 through 17, it says this, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I will visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." That's Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. And I would say, welcome to the America of the year 2026. All of this is a consequence of America having rejected the word of God. Americans are those who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What a picture that paints, folks. We just cannot get enough of our wickedness. Moving on to Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 2 through 9. It says this, verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination, whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Pastors, preachers, and teachers need to be led of the Spirit of God. That's one of the prime things we see out of Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 2 through 9. They must be led by the Spirit of God and not of their own spirit. If they're not led of the Spirit of God, they will prophesy lies out of their own hearts. They will not stand for the truth in the day of the battle because they are hirelings that have received new revelation from Satan that is contrary to the Word of God. How many vain preachers and false prophets have you seen on television that prophesy lies and see vain visions? They claim to receive new revelation from God that is contrary to the Word of God. Most of these television evangelists are the modern-day diviners that God condemned as an abomination in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Let's turn to those verses and read them. Starting in verse 9, When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. I would say enough said, and we're going to stop there for this particular session, and when we come back, we'll be doing starting in Jeremiah chapter 3 so that we can cover the second portion of this particular study on false prophets. I want to thank you for joining us today.